Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Okay, we're in the midst of a series called, what's it called? The series is called His Story. And today, in the midst of the series His Story, it's Life Stinks Sunday. Watch this.
In 2013, my husband and I moved to Michigan. We found the river and loved the river, loved the people, loved the vision, the mission, all of that, and began building community. We both got involved, and because of the culture and community of honesty and being authentic and being real, my husband decided to tell me, after we had been married for 4 years, that he had actually cheated on me within the first year of our marriage. That brought on a whole lot of confusion and doubt and frustration, but I did not feel peace to walk away. I was on my face before God, saying, "Lord, I don't understand. This is hurting. Lord, save my marriage," because I firmly believed that you don't get divorced. You don't walk away. People at church were telling me that if I could just hold on, that God would bring us through this and we would find healing and there would be grace and it would be an amazing story of forgiveness. And I agreed with them wholeheartedly. Everything that I was getting from the Lord was stay, pray, He needs you, fight for Him, fight for your marriage. And I did. We were happy. I was very, very happy. We had gone from a marriage of fighting and arguing and struggling to a marriage of peace and joy and love and happiness. Our marriage was incredibly joyous, and we had really worked on things and healed, and there was true forgiveness. The life that I thought we were living was exactly what I had always prayed for and wanted, or so I thought. I found out about 2 months ago that my husband had been living a double life. He would come home to me, but he would also be spending time in the beds of prostitutes. We had accidentally gotten pregnant and we lost the baby. And for him, that was a trigger that caused him to need more of this addictive behavior or desire more of these things that he thought would bring him peace and comfort. And so his frequency of visiting prostitutes increased. And one of the nights that he was with them, he actually started taking drugs as well. He hid all of this from me and also from our friends and the people who are supporting us in our marriage. But as sin does, it comes out. And so we sat down one day and he told me everything. And I remember that day vividly because I had gone to prayer at the river that morning. And I just knew that I was going to hear something from him, that when we sat down to have a conversation, I was going to hear something that was going to break me. I didn't know where I was going to go, but I wanted support. So I drove to the river and I walked in and I sat in the prayer room and I just started praying and crying. The staff at the river came in and they just surrounded me and provided me quiet strength. There didn't need to be words. There didn't need to be a plan. It was just a moment of, you're not alone, and we are here for you. I believe that God is in community, and it amazes me to see how much He raises people up around you that you didn't expect. I have a phenomenal small group at the River. Every day, one of those women would text me and ask me how I was doing or if I wanted to go out. And so God had placed this entire community around me that I wasn't expecting, that I hadn't had before, but then I was just surrounded by exactly what I needed when I needed it, and it was amazing. Today, I am going through one of the hardest things that I have ever gone through. It is heart-wrenching to be separated from someone that you've become one with. Underlying everything, I have that firm foundation that God is going to take care of me. I have no doubt that my future is going to be exactly what He wants it to be. I have no doubt that I am going to end up in His blessings because His promises are so clear in the Bible. I know that it's going to take a while, but I will be healed because His word says that He is the healer. He binds the brokenhearted. And I am the brokenhearted right now. But that's just for now. That's not going to be forever. My name is Tia, and I know that God provides a community of people in the midst of the chaos.
So in the series, His Story, up until today, we've been telling stories of how people have gotten through. We've been telling stories of how God brought victory, and we've been telling stories how God has brought purpose and significance, and it's been a rather encouraging, happy thing. However, that's not the way life always works. You see, we're not always on the happy side of things. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of the junk. Is this true?
Yes.
We find ourselves in a place where life stinks, and that's why this Sunday is given over to Life Stinks Sunday. And we're giving ourselves over to the reality on this day that sometimes life does stink, not to celebrate the fact that life stinks, but to remind us that God is amazing and awesome, even in the midst when life does stink. So Jesus would say in John chapter 16, verse 33, He would say, "In this life, you will have trouble." Do you agree with this? Have you seen this?
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis, who's a smart old dead guy, calls this time the Shadowlands. You see, he references Eden, and back in Eden, there was no pain, there was no suffering, and there's a glorious light shining from the days of Eden, but we ain't needing anymore. And then he references the future heaven and earth, when heaven and earth will come one and all pain and suffering will be done at the end of the earth. There's a beautiful glory and a light that shines from heaven. Well, in the midst of the time between Eden and between heaven, we find ourselves in the midst of the Shadowlands. And so I want you to hear another story in addition to Tia's of how God is present and real in the midst of the Shadowlands, in the midst of the pain. So I have my friend Brian Benzinger is going to come on forward, and he's going to share his story a little bit on this Life Stinks Sunday. If you're glad he's here, let him know with a clap or something. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Benzinger, who are you before we get into your story?
Morning, everybody. My name is Brian. I'm from Kalamazoo. I've been going to the River for about 4 years. Just actually recently moved back here from Jackson, Michigan. I was out there for about 5 months. I'll get into that in a little bit. So excited to be back.
It's good. Now, tell them, how did you and I start first hanging out?
We started hanging out watching UFC over at his house.
So we started a friendship over fighting. It's a great place to begin. And so this guy's kind of been my mentor in all things mixed martial arts. If you've not seen the mixed martial arts, my goodness, it's a sport like you've never seen before. So I'm thankful that you introduced me to this thing.
Welcome.
Yeah, so it's Life Stinks Sunday. Why are you on stage on Life Stinks Sunday?
Yeah, so Rod Tucker, who you all know here is the community pastor here, had invited me on in September to come up here. He had told me the series that was going on, some of the topics that would be talked about, and one of them was loneliness, he said. and he asked if I would share on that topic. He called me in the middle of the workday when I was living in Jackson, told me about it, and I was kind of silent for a few seconds. And he said, "Are you crying?" And I said, "Yeah." And you know, because he knew the topic was close to my heart, it had been this year. And so he said, "You know, you can think about it if you want to, and pray about it." And so I did, and said, "You know, it would be good to come up here and share on that."
So what you're saying is, it's good to be asked to share your story when it's the victory side, sure, or the redeemed side, or the business folks we had up a few weeks ago. But this is a crappy time to be invited to share your story on Life Stinks Sunday, right?
Yeah. And so the gist of it is, if you had asked me a year ago today where I would be at, I would have said, I'll be living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I'll be married. A month, so like I said, if you would have asked me a year ago in December, in January.
So in December, you're headed towards engagement, you love this lady, you're together, you're sure you're going to get married.
I was thinking that, yeah.
And then January.
And then January came, and I went through a very, you know, sudden breakup. That happened kind of out of the blue after dating this woman for 2 years. And so it was a shock to me and some other people. And, you know, instantly you realize that your life, the way that it was going, it changes instantly. Yeah.
And so this woman who you thought you were going to spend the rest of your life with, over, done, no more, that's very painful. Now you're speaking to people who are in the midst of some pain too. Is that right, folks?
Yes.
Some folks are in the midst of their pain. What made this worse is you were in Jackson. Tell us about that, and why did that make it worse?
So this happened in January. I was actually going to Western, getting my master's in social work. I was living with my folks at the time, living in Kalamazoo, going here to the river. I'm a very extroverted person. I have a lot of very meaningful, intentional friendships here that I keep up with. That happened in January, and then a few months later, I graduated. I decided to take a job in Jackson where I was counseling sex offenders, people coming out of prison for sex crimes. So, you know, within a few months span, you really had the breakup. You have, you're leaving your family, hometown, all your friends, church, and then living alone in a place where you don't know anybody. And for, you know, an extroverted person like myself who was already going through that hard thing, it was just, it was really, really overwhelming at that time to have to go through all those different life changes in just a few months.
So you were an extrovert in love who became a forced introvert alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you could say for sure life really did stink. And so where was God in the midst of this for you?
Yeah, I mean, because those times were definitely very, very dark, very lonely. Even though I was attempting to do things that were fun, I was trying to build a community out there and going to different churches and had gotten a kayak and a bicycle and I'm trying to do fun things and it just wasn't lifting really anything. And especially when, again, you have this picture of what you think life is going to be like, especially when it's with somebody, you know, mm-hmm. because for those of you who have gone through loss, probably virtually everyone in this room, you know, it really is an amputation of what is familiar to you,
yeah.
Especially when that's with someone who's very dear to you. The person I was with, we had a really deep emotional and spiritual connection. We were very transparent with each other, and it was a very rare and special relationship. And so I can remember one of the first things going to Jackson, and again, I'm thankful for the job. It was a good job, thankful for the place to stay, but I'm going through Meijer picking out things for your home, you know, that you need and just thinking like, I'm supposed to be doing this with my wife right now, you know, and it just, it was a lot of heavy feelings and then it's quiet all of a sudden, you know, and.
Yeah. So you had this stuff happen, life's alone, you've trying to do stuff to kind of reengage, it's not working. Did you just say, skip it and say no to your faith journey?
No, I didn't. I mean, it was definitely some very trying times. I actually kept in touch with a lot of people back here who really helped me out. Some of them I talk with daily. I still talk with daily, no matter how I'm feeling that day. It really caused me to press into God more. I think, you know, when you go through loss, I realized how much my happiness can depend on favorable circumstances.
Wow. Nope, keep going in a second, but I want them to make sure they're going to hear what you're saying. Hear what he's about ready to say, because here's a man who is in the midst of the junk of life, and he's going to explain to you how his God, how God sustained him. Keep going.
You know, I started just being very, I was already being very real with God in my life, but again, through this, you know, intensifying that more. And so a few things I started doing, I've always enjoyed worship music, but really, I started really clinging to that because, again, the quietness of everything. So I would play a lot of worship music, and that became very, just really special to me. Began going for a lot of walks. For those of you, I don't know that you may or may not walk, but it can be very therapeutic in a time of prayer. And I would go on the exact same walk every single day. It took me 23 minutes, and there was a spot halfway through where there was like on the walk was a telephone pole and a power box, and I can remember always stopping right there. I knew that was the halfway point, stopping. I would put my hand on my heart and just say, you know, God is the source of my power, and walk back home. And, you know, through that suffering, that loneliness and confusion, the Lord has certainly said that his promises are still true. Yeah. You know, I don't have a lot of control over life and what happens a lot, but and neither do you, but you do have control over how you react to a circumstance, especially one that's difficult for you. And you have a choice to go to God with that suffering instead of going to something that's counterfeit.
So God sustained you.
He did.
Worship and walking. You told me something I didn't know the first service. How many times is walking you?
So, you know, actually, you know, walking is mentioned more than 200 times in the Bible as a metaphor for the Christian life, which I thought is really interesting if you ever do a word study on walk. And so, and really, I think, you know, if you're walking, as long as you're walking, you have not yet arrived.
Okay.
You know, so as long as you continue to walk, as long as you continue to be real, don't be fake. One of my, which by the way is an easy thing to do, you know, it is.
Easy to fake,
yeah. You know, or easy just to not want to express how you're doing. A friend of mine once told me pain demands to be felt. Mm. And so if you can, and that's something that I hold on to and remember, that as long as you intentionally will feel your pain, especially with another person in community, and the river is a fantastic place to do that, there's many men and women that are willing to walk beside people who are going through difficult things. Yeah. That is the way that I see God, through other people, through through the suffering in itself. He's closest to those, like Tia had said, who are brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So in the midst of pain, the Lord sustained you with some worship and walking. That's really cool. So we know that people in that section right there, and in this section right here, and right here, and over here, and even in the balcony, there are people in each one of these places who are in the midst of their own life stinks Sunday. What last word would you like to say to the people who are in the midst of their junk?
You know, what I would want to tell you all is that God sees where you're at. And I think that that's so hard to believe sometimes, especially when you are in the midst of loss, because loss looks very different for people, whether it's a breakup, divorce, the loss of health, the loss of a job, whether it's death. Loss looks very different for people, and God sees that, and God is calling me and calling you all to come to him with that, to not give up, to say that if you're willing, loss can actually enlarge your soul and enlarge the capacity, your capacity to endure sorrow and endure happiness, because sometimes those emotions come simultaneously at the same time.
Cool. Thank you. We're going to pray for him. You said it was okay if I prayed for you, if a pretty young Christian woman, 25 to 35, would come your way, right?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. We could do that. I asked him if I could joke that way. Just extend your hands out over this fella, and we're going to pray for him. And if you agree with my prayers, he will be encouraged when you say amen or I agree. Lord, we ask that the dark days would be over today. And we pray, Lord, that the darkness would come into full fruition of light. Do you agree, church? So, Lord, we're thankful for his story of being sustained by you, God, in the midst of the stinkiness of life. And so we bless him. Lord, I pray that he, having shared his story in front of all of these folks, would feel your approval this morning, would feel you saying, well done, thank you, good and faithful servant. Do you agree, church?
Yes.
And so, Lord, bless him today. And Lord, we believe that you have a plan for him, a good future, plans for hope and a future, not to harm him, but to prosper him. Do you agree?
Yes.
And so we pray that over Brian in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for sharing.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks, buddy. Do you know what Tia and Brian did? That ain't easy, right? Getting up in front of a few hundred people and just getting raw and honest. So Jesus did say in John 16:33, in this life you'll have trouble, and you know that. But that was verse 33. You know what comes after verse 33? 34. Verse 34 says this. Jesus himself would say, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. You see, these present struggles that some of us find ourselves in, they're not always going to last. And in the midst of the junk, God is worthy of our worship. And so what I want to do is I want to just extrapolate quickly both what Tia and Brian did. And they gave us the reason or the answer to the question, why do we go to church? They told us that the reason we come to church is because there is a God worthy of worship. In the midst of the pain, he would worship and he would walk. And in the midst of her story, in the midst of a broken thing that no one would ever imagine could happen, she was able to lift her eyes to God and say, thank you to the one who is good. So let me just lay a new foundation maybe for some of you. Here's the question. Why do we go to church? We don't go to church so that we can be inspired. We don't go to church so that we can get fed. We don't go to church so that we can hear a good teaching. We don't go to church so that we can get inspiration to be about it. We go to church. Those are secondary reasons. The primary reason that we go to church is to worship God. Did y'all hear that? And so that's why at the River, we give so much time on a given Sunday to the musical aspect of worship. You know, Jesus would say, if you don't worship, the rocks will cry out on your behalf because God cannot help but be worshiped. And so we're going to keep the rocks unemployed every day, every Sunday, and we worship a lot. And so it's a little awkward for some of you to come to a church that gives 30 to 40 minutes of worship every time we gather, but we do it because our primary purpose to gather as God's people is to worship. Now, let's just be clear. That's the primary. The secondary is also there. There are good benefits. When we worship like this, we get things like community. It was huge for Brian, and it was huge for Tia. It sustained you guys, right? Community is a wonderful secondary benefit. Things like that inspiration and that healing, those things come with worship, but they're not the reason we worship. Knowledge, understanding, inspiration, all of that, these are beautiful secondaries. But here's what happens when we take the secondary benefits and we make the secondary benefits the primary benefit of church. When we make the secondary benefits for us the primary thing that we come to church, we become like consumers who want Whoppers or Big Macs, and we complain when we get a Big Mac when we want a Whopper. Or we become church consumers who sit there and, you know what, say, church is really about me. And the moment things don't go the way we want, or the moment we get a little disinterested, or the moment we lose a little focus, we slide on out. Church friends, it's not about you. It's not about Brian. It's not about Tia. It's about the God in heaven who sustains us in our brokenness. It's about him, his story. And when we give ourselves to his story, there's some pretty amazing things that happen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.